You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday, so you know what that means. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And it is Thursday, so it is the Michigan mailbag. Let's get right to it, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Do you see Michigan hitting the transfer portal hard this offseason? It's early, but aside from Willie Allen, seems like it's been quiet. Jim Harbaugh said yesterday that he is going to be looking to be hitting the transfer portal hard. So as far as who they are going to get, I have no idea. I have no idea who's all in the transfer portal. I guess I could look it up. I think that there's like a Virginia... I think there's a Virginia type defensive tackle. So that would be, you know, who I would look at. I know that there's some people out there. I don't really know if there's any good way to try to find it, who's in the portal, but I'm sure that there's a 24/7 something. Here we go. Transfer portal. So here's who I would look at if I was Michigan, assuming I can get this site to work, and I can't seem to. So you've got some guys that are already in there. Lots of quarterbacks, of course, because that's just how it goes. And it just seems like it's mostly got that. But obviously they got a tackle, so you feel good about that. Some of the defensive guys are already off the board. But there's some guys like Natori Johnson, who's the defensive tackle from Georgia. I don't know much about him. I remember his recruitment. He's available. Siaki Ika is available from LSU. Matthew Palamau from Kansas State is available. And you got a guy from Oklahoma, a guy from Memphis, a guy from, I think that's NC State, Washington State, Tulane. I mean, there's a bunch of options out there for them at that position. I would imagine that they would look at some linebackers as well. I mean, they still have Jordan Anthony, still hasn't declared school. He's been out for a long time, but nonetheless. You've got Palai Gautioti from, I know I'm butchering that, from USC out there. A couple other four stars, a guy from Marshall, a guy from Utah. But, you know, they lost a couple linebackers, obviously, so I wouldn't be surprised if they are looking there. That's inside linebacker. As far as outside linebacker, another USC guy in Abdul Malik McLean would be another guy I would look at. Byron Vaughns from Texas is another name that I would look at. And then, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if they are seeking out some corners. I highly doubt that they would go after Julian Barnett from Michigan State. He's the top-rated guy in the portal right now. Nigel Knott from Eastern Carolina is a former four-star. I don't have that. Tyon Palmer from NC State. Trey Shaw from North Carolina. Colin Samuel from Houston. So I am sure that they will attack that with some zeal, those particular positions. Offensively, I feel like they're pretty much in a good place personnel-wise. Defensively is where they seem to need some help. Even though the offense wasn't, like, incredible, I think that defensively, that's where they're going to go. Josh Barr at Jadakie. Harbaugh gets a lot of crap for not being the QB whisperer that people have labeled him as. Why don't fans realize we have a QB coach on staff? Is the blame fair with his role at the head coach as opposed to a QB coach? He has to be delegating the work, right? I think that that's the one position that he's probably not delegating that much. So the way I look at it is, I don't think it's as bad as people say, right? Like, yeah, Rudock obviously got drafted. Wilton Spate injured twice. So I think that Wilton had a upside enough where he could have been a pro type guy if he could have made it through his college career without the issues he had. Brandon Peters ended up being kind of what Brandon Peters is, obviously, at Illinois. John O'Korn probably wasn't really destined to be a quarterback at the next level. Shea Patterson, again, played pretty good in 2018 and then got injured at the beginning of 2019. And we'll see as far as the, you know, the other guys that they have. I thought Milton was going to be a lot better this year, but he's still at the, I know, third year in the system, but still a little bit young. It's in a weird, it's a weird year. So I don't really look at it that way, right? Because they didn't have all the same resources that a new starter is going to normally get. Didn't have spring ball, didn't have a traditional summer, didn't have a traditional fall camp. So I think that that's, he probably really needed all that, him or Cade. So I'm just not that down on the idea yet, because we'll see what happens. I know it's, you know, it's been a long time. It's, you know, you just had the sixth year, but it's not like there haven't been existential circumstances for all of them. As far as Ben McDaniels is concerned, I mean, he's working with them and everything like that. I think he definitely deserves some blame, but Harbaugh does as well, because that's the position he knows the best. That's the position he goes and warms up with before games. I think it's probably a position that he's spending the most time with. So you'd like to see it get better. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Do you believe JJ is the kind of guy who's going to come in and change the culture and work ethic of the locker room? I think that he can be. I don't think he's the only one, though, because, I mean, he's shown that he can do that. He did it at IMG after coming from Nazareth Academy. He's got that, got a kind of gravitational pull to him. He's the type of guy that can have that type of impact. But I think Donovan Edwards is as well. Donovan has been a leader. I've seen it firsthand, having been to off-season workouts at West Bloomfield, having seen them practice, having seen them play, having been around the program for a couple years. I think Donovan Edwards is another guy that's got that same type of leadership. And just any kind of captain-type guy, right? Like, you look at even TJ Guy was a captain of his team. Now, we're not thinking that he's going to be, at least not early, the type of guy that's going to be an impact player straight out the gates. But, you know, having a guy that was a team captain coming in, I think that you can see that. Michigan definitely needs that type of leadership. That's why they brought in the Navy SEALs and everything. The unfortunate thing is that some of the guys that were stepping up and being the big leaders were two of the guys that opted out, in Ambry Thomas and Nico Collins. I would argue that those were two of the bigger leaders on the team. So there was kind of a dearth of leadership to some degree. There were still leaders, Aiden, Quitty, Josh Ross, but you needed those guys, because I think that Ambry was a more outspoken leader, where some of those others were lead by example types. My fun time writer, I don't know why I said fun time, but my excellent writer for Wolverine 24/7, where am I? Wolverine's Wire. I wrote 37 articles yesterday. I'm tired, y'all. Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Will JJ win the Heisman next year? Well, Trevor Lawrence might not ever have won the Heisman, and he might be one of the best ever to do it at the college level. So, no, probably not. I'm just going to leave it at that. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner. Welcome back to the Leaders and Best section at Jimmy Whitner 1. Which commit are you looking forward to seeing the most? Number two, who would you like us to see us go after in the late signing period? As far as who I'm looking forward to seeing the most, it's Donovan Edwards, and I don't think it's even close. Because, like I said on the podcast the last 2 days, he was drawing comparisons to being a better J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, loaded running backs room. Because now they bring him in, they bring in Tavier Dunlap. You still have everyone from this last year. So it's a pretty loaded running backs room. So getting the chance to do it straight out the gates is really difficult. But I think that he walks in as the best running back. So that poses some challenges for Michigan. But I think he walks in as the best running back in the room from day one. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, let us move on. Do you feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need that moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time, with work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit that reset button. That's when you reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Listen, I don't drink anymore, but back when I did, back when I turned 21, Coors Light was my light beer of choice. It remained that way until I quit drinking in 2014. So, yeah, that's what I go for. I'm telling you, it is crisp. It's refreshing. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged. It's mountain cold refreshment. It's made to chill. It's crisp and refreshing like the Colorado Rockies. It's perfect for that moment to unwind. So Coors Light's the light beer that I used to choose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, we are continuing on with the mailbag. Let's do the triple threat from Jim in the North. I know we're going to give a lot of the same questions. I tried to couple them together from my quick walkthrough, but I wanted to make sure that I got this done while I had a moment in the day to do it. So anyway, hopefully I don't repeat. Are there recruiting philosophies like in the pros, i.e. when you have limited recruiting resources, you go after the best available athletes versus go after need? Might that explain the lack of defensive line effort? I'll answer that. They definitely are. You do a little bit of both. You are definitely trying to find the best available athlete, but you also are trying to get the, you're definitely recruiting position in need, I think, even more, right? You're looking at, hey, we need defensive line. We need to get a defensive line. I think they had all of their eggs in the Rashawn Benny basket. I think that they at one time were in a really good position with Tyone Malone. And I just think that things kind of, they had their best available at the positions and swung hard at them and didn't get there. I know that they still feel, despite the fact that he didn't include them in his final five, I know that they still feel good. Not that good in the sense of signing him, but they feel like they're in striking distance for JT Tumalau, the number one player in the country who's also a defensive tackle. I think the lack of DL effort is, I don't think there's a lack of it. I think that they identified guys and they went elsewhere. I think that's the big thing. So the fact that they just keep on striking out, I think it's digging a deeper hole because there's just so limited true defensive tackles out there. Harbaugh did say Dom Judas. He called him Gwadis or something like that. Anyway, I don't know how you pronounce his name. They said that he will be a defensive tackle, but he's clearly not he's more of a project, right? So he's got to add some weight. Jim continues, to my untrained eye, it seems like our wide receivers are fast, but have trouble getting separation and catching balls. Do we need a dedicated wide receivers coach? I don't think you need a dedicated wide receivers coach. Josh Gattis is already basically that. So, no, I don't think that necessarily is the case, because when they had a dedicated wide receivers coach in Jim McElwain, I don't think it was head and shoulders better at the wide receiver position anyway. And I think Gattis knows what he's doing. I just think that you got a lot of young guys for the most part. The ones that's getting separation is Ronnie Bell, and he was a, you know, third year player. So I think it comes with time sometimes. I think that's a let's see what happens more type of thing. With the loss of Zach Carpenter, is the OL doomed to mediocrity by losing a good follow on center? Not necessarily. Reese Atterbury is right there. They think very highly of him. If not Reese Atterbury, then, I mean, you're bringing in two guys that can play center, and I think they could do it pretty early. Greg Crippen doing it for the best high school team in the nation in IMG Academy. Raheem Anderson is a heady type guy out of Cass Tech. No, you don't want a first-year guy playing center, but I think that they have options. I don't think it's doomed to mediocrity, and especially if they keep Ed Warner. I think that you look at what the offensive line did over the course of the season. It got consistently better even as they had to put in new guys. I think that the biggest thing that ended up happening this year is that you saw that they were really trying to prepare the whole team instead of saying, this is, you know, we're trying to find the first team and now we're going to prepare those guys. I think that there was a more concerted effort to treat everyone as first team, and to some degree that caused some level of detriment across the board. But you saw as the season went on, the offensive line, one of the, honestly, just really, really good by the end of the season. At least as far as pass blocking was concerned, they were really quite good. So we'll see what happens moving down the stretch. Dan Walton at 3D Walton. Offense got most of their targets and defense lost several of theirs. Is there a more obvious indication there will be a significant staff change on that side of the ball? Social media presence by that side of the ball is all but non-existent. I think you're probably on to something. I noticed it too. I mean, it's hard to miss. Credit to Trent Noop for pointing that out to me yesterday while I was writing novels, essentially, yesterday. But, yeah, I definitely think that that's the case. I don't think it's necessarily a full-on indication, but it's certainly an indication something's happening. Tyler at T_Force1, what do you think was the most important event of yesterday? Keeping Xavier Worthy in the fold, landing Edwards, etc. I think it's those two, and I don't think it's that close, right? Because landing Edwards is a program-defining win for Michigan. According to Steve Wiltfong, the highest rated running back Michigan has ever gotten since they started doing recruiting. And he's an in-state guy, not a position of need, but just it's one of those things that's, you know, he could have gone anywhere. Ohio State, if he would have called Ohio State and said, listen, I'm going to sign an LOI, they would have been like, hell yeah. Ohio State, again, I've mentioned this before, wanted him bad. Worthy is equally as important because Alabama, I mean, you're trying to choose between Michigan and Alabama, and you pick Michigan. That's to pick against the team that's probably going to win the national championship this year, that is as storied as Alabama, I mean, that tells you what you need to know. Zach Van Lente at Lenny Zach. Does Harbaugh's future and the future of the program hinge on this class? An experience next year, but experience moving forward? Sounds like a make or break on an alleged 3-year contract extension. Imagine what the season would have looked like with the 2017 class intact. I mean, that's a huge, I mean, I don't mention it enough. You said like the 2017 class. I mean, the fact that they lost an entire class, essentially, that like basically none of it panned out, and the ones that did are pretty much gone. I mean, just the attrition that Michigan had kind of throughout, and the fact that 2018, 2019 weren't as highly rated as far as classes are concerned as the 2017 class particularly was. I mean, it's, yeah. But experience, you're going to need that going forward, of course, but Michigan being one of the most inexperienced teams in the country this year. I think his future and the future of the program doesn't necessarily hinge on this class, but Harbaugh's future certainly, I think, hinges on this class and last year's class. I think both. So, you know, retaining as much as you can, getting as much out of it as you can, like, agree with you, not this year, but next year. And when I say next year, I'm talking 2022. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Are we assuming McCaffrey's transferring? I believe he only opted out and is still at Michigan. I think to some degree, because he's not in the transfer portal. So, I mean, it was reported he was transferring, but he's still here, still in class, not in the transfer portal. Didn't get a leg up on that, stayed at Michigan. So I think that that could be the case. Do I think he'll ever wear a Michigan uniform again? With the room that they have right now, probably not, unless he's looking at it and saying, hey, I can come in and win that thing. But, you know, he's got to not only battle Joe Milton, who he was losing to in the summer. He's got to battle Cade McNamara, who looked pretty good when he finally got his chance. And he's got to battle J.J. McCarthy. So I wouldn't count on him coming back. Zesty Zaddy finishing us out in segment 2. At @the_MikeB_show. We get on Harbaugh and Don Brown a lot. What other assistants do you think deserve the blame? I say McDaniels. I mean, McDaniels is in there. Now, here's the thing. It's kind of crazy because you look at some guys and I look at tight end, I look at running back, and I'm like, Sherrone Moore and Jay Harbaugh are currently Michigan's best recruiters, hands down. And tight end needed to be a heck of a lot better this year. Running back was a complete disaster considering that all the fumbling that kind of happened. When I say fumbling, I mean that figuratively, not literally. So I think that they have to figure out that. defensive side of the ball, Mike Zordich, I think, continues to pull his weight. But not having a safeties coach clearly hurt Michigan. With Bob Shoup coaching remotely, they said. A'shaun Larkin being an interim coach there. Linebacker, I think, is just, which is Don Brown oversees half the linebackers, the Will and the Sam. Sorry, the Will and the Mike, whereas Brian Jean-Marie had the Viper and the Sam. I thought that was a disaster. And I think Nua, I think it was middling, the defensive line, getting pressure but not getting home. All right, if it's not, if you're getting pressure but you're not getting home, figure out how to get home. I don't know what else to say about that part. All right. Anyway, break through your wall. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink. I almost said delicious monster drink, but I don't know why. With a third of caffeine and better results, three delicious flavors, that's why. Peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Collagen also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff literally makes you look better. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work and my workout with beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong with 10,000% of your daily percentage of B6 and B12 vitamins. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Use Built, use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go! All right. So I know we have some people that DM'd me and I didn't put it in my list, so we're going to start with them here in segment three. Hussam Adur Zahim at Sam Adur Zahim. Hey, Isaiah, I had a question for the pod on Thursday. I noticed Rashad and Benny didn't sign early with MSU and plans to sign in February. Is it possible he's waiting to see what happens with Harbaugh slash defensive coaching situation before signing? Could it be he's still open to Michigan, or is it just wishful thinking? Thanks in advance. I know I have something similar that's asked as well, but we will get to that momentarily. But I think it's possible. I think when you don't sign on early signing day and you're committed somewhere, and it's not like a thing like with Quentin Johnson when he signed, you know, he was committed but didn't sign, but that was because his whole high school was signing on National Signing Day in February. Oak Park guy signed yesterday. Rashawn Benny didn't. So I think that's an indicator that he's open enough. And I think that Michigan is still going after him, and I think Michigan will continue to go after him. So we will see, but I think that I would be cautiously optimistic about Michigan's chances. Alan Cox, also from DM, at Cox, WA2. Awesome pod, by the way. Thank you. One of the few guys I trust when it comes to Michigan athletics. Again, thank you. Question, what would the Big Ten do as far as next season when it comes to teams hosting a game that was canceled for this season? For example, since the Michigan-Ohio State game was canceled this year, will Columbus host the next season's game as it was supposed to this season, or will Ann Arbor host as originally scheduled? I have no idea in truth. I would assume the schedule would just stay the same, which will anger people in Columbus, but I think that, yeah, you could switch things up real fast, but I think that they won't. I think that they'll just keep – I think that's why they moved MSU to be in Ann Arbor again for the second straight year. And I think that they'll just roll with the schedule as it was set. Because extenuating circumstances, right? I don't think that you need to go too far beyond that. Foos Pro at Foos Pro. What is the status of Zach Charbonnet? Will he stay? Why was he getting so little carries last few games when it came and he came in this year as the presumed number one? I have no idea why he got so few carries. That makes no sense to me either, and it drove me insane. Again, having spoken to someone that would know, like this, keeping in mind, things can always change. Michigan did just sign Donovan Edwards. It's postseason now. I know that there will be a conversation had between the staff and Zach Charbonnet at some point. But from someone who would know, Zach has, at the time that I talked to him a couple weeks ago, Charbonnet has zero intentions of transferring. he is committed to Michigan as a school as well as a football program. Again, things could change. You could have that conversation and decide, you know what? I got out of this what I could. I'm going to cut bait. But Michigan's got to figure out how they're going to handle their running backs. Because to me, that's the only surprise of Edwards committing, is I would have watched what Michigan did with the running backs this year and been like, really? That's just me. Brian Face, CFP, at FaceMan16. And we got several here that are all basically the same. Question for the podcast, what do with not having enough defensive tackle or defensive end? Portal? Portal, Rashawn Benny, and whoever else is uncommitted out there, I'm sure, that or unsigned, rather, they will go after. Similar question from General Patton at SPatton9293. Strengthening RB, DL, DB position coach, what's their future? As far as, I would imagine they'll keep Ben Herbert and Jay Harbaugh. I don't think is going anywhere. As far as corner coach, I think Mike Zordich would stay if the new defensive coordinator would have him. But safety coach, they didn't have one this year. Sounds like they're probably getting a new defensive coordinator, and I think anything's up for grabs there. Matt Belsey, also similar, at Belsey Matt, DL recruiting 2021 goose egg. What the heck? We already are incredibly thin at the position. Are they chasing any grad transfers? We already kind of went over that. It's not a goose egg. They got a couple defensive linemen. They got a 4-star in Keyshawn Bennett, the defensive end. They brought in TJ Guy, another defensive end. They brought in Don McJudas, defensive tackle, but who played defensive end in high school, I believe. It's not a goose egg. It's just not as good as you would hope. Obviously lost Quentin Somerville. That's a huge blow. Yeah. Also, similar question, pretty much have answered this. David DeLees Jr. at the Guapo Pop Zero. Where do Michigan look at linebacker, defensive tackle now in February? Best uncommitted / flippable chances. This is Benny back on the plate. So we've covered that pretty much. All right, a couple more here. Brandon at Brandon's 616. If when Michigan decides to make some coaching moves on defense, do you think Charles Woodson would be a good fit as a DB coach? He has the acumen, fire, and skills. Well, he has the capability of playing cornerback and defensive back. We don't know that he can coach it, that he can impart his wisdom, that he can impart the wisdom that a head coach sets. So I don't think that would be a good move. It's like people saying, well, Tom Brady should be the next quarterback's coach. We don't know that he can coach. Being a coach and being a really good player are two different skill sets. A lot of really good players become coaches. But when you also look at, like, no one looks at Matt LaFleur at Green Bay and says, man, that dude was a heck of a player. Where did he play? Was it Western Michigan he started before he transferred to Saginaw Valley State? So coaching and playing are two different things. So I understand Michigan people want to see that Michigan guy come back, that legend come and give back. Harbaugh kind of did it, but it's still a different skill set. Finishing us off, we got two here that are similar. Go Blue at run_DJD asks, no new defensive staff. If so, any hints on who? Kane Kerr at a_Hurricane. Who would you want to replace Don Brown if he is gone? I actually meant to pull up a list because I kept forgetting to do that. I had someone that I had looked at not too long ago that I was like, that would be who I would go after. But I completely forgot. And I don't remember offhand who it is. So I have no idea, though. I have no idea who would be available, who you should go after. I mean, Jim, like I said last time, Jim Leonard's not going anywhere from Wisconsin unless he's probably a head coach. But, I mean, there's other places you could look. You could look at Marshall, Army, Cincinnati. There's places that have defensive coordinators that could be possible. Or you could try to poach Mike Hankwitz from Northwestern. He's a Michigan alum, so maybe. I don't know. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you for all of your questions. Thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow, Friday, with things. I don't know what. It'll be something. All right, we'll talk to you then. Peace.